If you're staying with us, turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. It's a new year. The old year is gone. And I want us to, this year, I want us to make a special focus. We sort of started talking about it in the last few services we've already had of 2018. But I think this new year, as a church, we need to make a special focus on prayer. And you may be thinking, well, Mike, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. We pray all the time and different things like this. But I want you to realize something, that a lot of things in this Christian life can only be done through prayer. You realize how important that prayer is in our life. In fact, prayer helps us with that relationship between us and Jesus Christ, right? Prayer helps with that. Prayer, the Bible says, helps us to overcome temptation. Prayer is how we find out what God's will is in our life, what He wants us to do. Prayer is that weapon, one of them that we have in spiritual warfare, right? We pray to God because that's to help us. Do you realize that the Bible says Jesus Christ is ever waiting to make intercession for us? That means He's waiting to hear your prayer. That's how important it is. Jesus Christ is waiting to hear it. And what I said the other night is the only way we can have true revival is through prayer. There is no other way. I can schedule the best people. We can bring in the best singing groups and everything else. But without prayer, there is no answering from heaven, no filling of the Holy Spirit, which is what really changes lives. We can't get up in here behind this pulpit and convince you of anything. It takes the Holy Spirit to touch your heart for you to realize. Otherwise, there's been many that have heard the gospel over and over again. Many have heard the Bible. Many have read the Bible. But it takes the Holy Spirit to show you that you're the one the Bible's talking about, and He's the one that can fix it. And you realize if we want real revival, if you look back in the old days, in fact, you can go back all the way to Acts chapter 2 before Pentecost. Before that revival started, they were doing the same thing that I read of in the revivals back in the different hundreds, in the different centuries, and even the modern day revivals. You realize whatever revival started with all the way from Acts chapter 2, it was a group of God's people getting together in one accord and one mind, praying to Him, saying, God, we need a move from heaven. That's what it takes. And you realize it takes the same thing today. And I believe if we want real revival, not just one scheduled in the spring and one in the fall, if we want real revival, remember, a lot of our prayer requests are for loved ones, are for that are backslidden or that are lost, and we have named some of these names a long time. And I was praying to God, and I'll share something with you that a lot of times through the week, I remember these names that you guys call out. And I remember that when Harry and Jean's mind, when they come to my mind when I'm praying, I think of Jerry and Tracy. And it just, when I think of Penny, I think of Jim. And it just on and on throughout the church, praying for these people. Well, I was thinking the other day, I said, you know what, God, what we need is a breakthrough. And the only breakthrough we can get is through revival. And the only way we can get revival is if God's people get serious about it. And what they need to get serious about is prayer. So I want to focus, and I don't know if this will be the only message that I preach, probably not, but I want to look at just a piece of prayer today, this powerful move that we need. And I'm telling you, when I'm talking about revival, I'm talking about not just people saved, I'm talking about people that are going to be sitting next to us from now on. That's what I'm talking about. People wanting to do God's will in their life each and every day. And you know, a lot of these prayers, you know, we've heard over the years that, you know, if we selfishly pray for something or we pray for something that's out of God's will, He's not going to grant it. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to salvation and comes to the lost getting saved, it is God's will that none should perish. We know the Bible says that. So this year, if we focus on how important it is, I want to look at this example that we have in Psalms 139 of prayer. This is David's, one of his prayers that's in a psalm. I'm not going to read every verse, but I would ask you today after church to look at all 24 verses. But we'll start at verse 1, read a few, and then skip down to the end. But Psalm 39 verse 1 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Let's skip down to verse 23, all the way at the end. Verse 23, here's how we know that David is praying today. He says, Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. Thank You for its power and its presence. We thank You for already blessing us through song and testimony today. And Lord, I ask that You would use me. Lord, open up our ears. Lord, guard my tongue. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and allow this Word to penetrate our heart and to be open and to, when it finds a problem, that we would take care of it and not excuse it. Lord, we love You today. Open up the altars. Take away the distractions. Lord, and help us to focus on You today. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So David, in this psalm, this prayer, he spends the first 18 verses talking about God. Now that may sound strange to you and I, doesn't it? Because I don't know about you, a lot of times when I pray, especially when I'm getting into a repetitious prayer or something like that, it really doesn't start out like that. Usually my wish list comes first, right? What I want God to do for me comes first. But one of the things that we can see in David's prayer life is that first, he makes it known that it's important that we know who we're talking to, right? When we pray, it's important to know who you're talking to. He says right at the beginning, the first two words are, O Lord. And you know, this may sound simple and may sound like something that's not hard. But like I said, we can get repetitious. We can get in this pattern, in this a drudgery of prayer. I don't know if you're, maybe I'm the only one, but you can get in this mode. And it's kind of like this. Imagine talking to someone you care about. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe a parent, maybe a friend, or something like that. And imagine each day, I'm going to use mom as an example. So imagine you're talking to mom, and this is the only thing you say all day. Dear mom, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Take away my headache. Give me a good day at work. And help me be a light to the world. Amen. And then that's it. Don't talk to her again. And then you come in the next day, you start over, maybe you change a couple of the things, maybe the headache's not there, but something else is there, and then that's it. It's a couple minutes and you're done, right? That's it. That's not what David's saying prayer is. No. Yeah. That's not what prayer's meant to be. But you know, that's what it can become in your life, in my life. Yeah. It can become just that repetitious thing, but he is saying, listen, when you and I pray, we are praying to the Almighty God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one sitting on the throne, the one that, you know, every time that I read that a prophet saw a vision of God or a vision of the throne or a vision of the New Jerusalem or whatever, every time they were afraid and they couldn't speak and they didn't know it, they fell as if dead, the Bible says. You know, that's the God we're talking about, a powerful and holy and righteous God. And you know, you and I, we're not afraid to have long conversations with different people. You know, there are some people in our lives where we share everything with. We share our troubles. We share the good times. You know, when a good news happens, they're the first one we call or text. You know, we've got relationships like that where we're not afraid to talk for a long time. But why is it sometimes we aren't like that with God? When we have a problem, we'd rather call a friend instead of call on heaven. When we've got something that we need, when we've got some exciting news to share, when we're thankful, when things like this happen, we need to go to God first. And we need to say, God, it's me again. I know we just talked a few minutes ago, but I have to call you back because I've got something else and I'm excited to talk to you again. That's the way we need to get with prayer. And I know for some of us, it's a long way. But this is a goal that we can attain to. But not only does he say, oh Lord, he says, here's what I'm praying for. But his request we read at the end. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. He is saying, he's admitting right here that there's weakness in his own heart. He's admitting in his own heart there's sin and evil thoughts in his mind and wickedness. And he's asking God to search it. And he realized this. He's making this. He's saying, God, I want you to inspect everything. I want you to look at everything so I can get closer to you. But I was thinking, you know, if he's asking God to search his heart, I was asking, well, couldn't somebody else do the search? Couldn't somebody else look? I mean, think about it. Couldn't David have searched his own heart that day? Couldn't David have said, and can't we do the same thing? Or remember David's mighty men that he fought in battle with for years and years? Couldn't he have asked them to, you know what, tell me about myself. You know, how is my heart? You know, or maybe even his really close friend Jonathan. Maybe you could ask Jonathan that he spent so much time with. Jonathan, can you look into my heart and my thoughts and tell me, you know, what kind of a person do I think I am? You realize Jeremiah tells us something. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Listen to this. Verse 10, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. You know what that verse says right there that we see over and over again? Is that your heart and my heart is deceitful. You know what deceitful means? It means it deceives you. It tricks you into thinking, especially when it comes to sin. Do you realize our heart tries to trick us in saying that there is forever pleasure in sin? But the Bible says that that pleasure is only for a short amount of time, for a short season. It hides the bitterness. It hides the pain and everything else. You remember back to the Garden of Eden. There was Eve, and there, as the serpent spoke to her and told her something, then it went into her mind and her heart, and she thought, you know what? This fruit looks pretty good to eat. It's desirous to eat. And then beyond that, she said, it would be a good thing because it would make one wise. And I thought, that is her deceitful heart taking over. That is her mind taking over. And do you realize neither her mind or her heart stopped her that day, but she went on. You realize something? If we need to search our own heart, we need something more reliable than ourselves. Yeah. We need something more reliable than our best friend, our spouse, or whoever. We need God.
Amen.
To search our heart. Not another man or woman who has the same problem that we do. And you realize he starts out with something in his prayer in verses 1 through 4. You realize he says something amazing in verse 1. Remember, we're talking about searching the heart. And David starts off in verse 1. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me. You know what he's saying right there? See, in the end of the psalm, he's asking God to search his heart. But the very first verse in the prayer, he's saying, Lord, you've searched my heart. That may sound confusing. You know what he's saying? Lord, I'm asking you to do something you've already done. You know what my heart has in it. You know what's going on in my mind. And I want you to search it. And do you realize something? He is saying, God, you know everything. You know all of my heart. You know all of my thoughts and my intent. We have a fancy word for that. That's saying God is omniscient. He knows everything. And that's what the first four verses are saying. He's saying, you know my downsitting, my uprising. You know my thoughts, my actions, what I'm going to say. You know if I'm being honest. And you know all of these things. But you know what? At the end, he wraps it up. Oh Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You know it all. So not only does God know it all, but in verses 7 through 10, he goes on. He's saying, I need you to search my heart because you're everywhere. Not only do you know everything, but you're everywhere. And in fact, we know, we get a good Bible example from that. See, people have tried to run away from God. Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they tried to hide from God. Jonah, after he was told to go to Nineveh, he thought, well, I'll just go the other way and get on a ship and go a different way. But God was there, and God knew where he was, and God provided a way back to where he needed to be. I want you to listen here. God can, it doesn't matter if you're hiding in your mind, hiding in a place out here, hiding from everything, God is there. He said, if you fly up into the mountains and beyond, I'm there. If you go in the sea, I'm there. If you're in heaven, I'm there. And if you make your bed in hell, I'm there too. He said, you cannot escape me.
That's right.
I'm there. God will be there wherever you go. So then he's asking, he's saying, verse 23, he's saying, God, I acknowledge who you are, that you're, and I didn't go over the other verses, but he talks about his power in the other verses. So he's saying, you're knowledgeable, you're present, you're powerful, and I want you to search me. Realize, this sort of reminded me of, like, I will go back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had hid, God asked, he said, where are you, Adam? We've said it many times. God knew where Adam was, but Adam needed to know where Adam was. And that's what we see right here. He's saying, God, you've already searched me. You already know what's going on here, and you know what's going on here. But you know what he's saying? I need to know what it is. I need you to reveal it to me. And that seems strange to us. Why would we need God to reveal what's going on in our very mind? It's because we go back to the beginning. Our mind and our heart is deceitful. It's deceitful. You're thinking, well, Mike, I'm better than that. No, you're not. No, you're not. He said it's desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What if we knew every thought that you ever thought? What if it was out loud? What if it was written down and we could all read it? Even the bad ones. Even think about the things you're most ashamed of. Imagine if people knew what you thought. I don't want people to know that. I don't want it known. God knows it.
Yeah.
He already knows it.
Right.
See, those are the things we try to push away. Those are the things we don't even tell the best friend. Right? God says, I already know it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's why David's saying, search me. Because those things that I put away, those things that I excuse, I want you to bring it to light. I want you to bring it to light so I can do something with it instead of trying to hide it. Search me and know me. But you know, the key really comes in the very last verse, in verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you realize that, you know what sin does? It affects where we go, what we do, what we say. It affects every part of us. It affects the way we think. It affects our heart. And it affects everything in between. And do you realize we need God to point it out? And then we need God's help to lead us out of it. And that's what he is saying right here. He's saying, I need you to conduct that search. I need you to open up and shine light into the darkest places in my heart and in my mind. So that way you can lead me. And where would he lead you? He'd lead you closer to him. He'd lead you in the way that he wants you to go. He'd lead you in his will. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, God, I want to get closer to you. And the only way I can get closer to you is if I get rid of this sin that doth so easily beset us. And he is saying, listen, I am being deceived right now. I'm wanting to live my own life instead of you living it. And I am here to tell you, it is so easy for us to live a Christian life outwardly. You dress the right way, you talk the right way, you show up at the right time, and all of these things, and you can have all of us fooled. But you can't fool God.
Amen.
You can't. You're saying, Mike, well, I'm saved. Well, do you realize that salvation is the beginning of eternal life? And then eternal life goes on after that.
Yeah.
Forever. And do you realize, while we're on this earth, we have two jobs. Number one is to spread the gospel. And number two is to be a disciple and to teach others to be a disciple. And the only way we can do those two things are through God and through the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can teach is if we do it ourselves. I can't teach you to how to step out in faith unless I step out in faith, right? I can't teach you how to pray unless I pray. I can't help you out unless I am rooted and grounded in God's Word. And that's what we need this year, is because we need a whole church full of people that are ready, that are willing to do what God wants to do. And what I see in the way today is our deceitful mind and heart. Because you know what the deceitful mind says? Everything's okay. You did real good last year. You know, in fact, you should probably take this year as a break. You probably did too much last year. You know what? Those things you did, you know, didn't matter anyway. You should focus on yourself this year. That's what your deceitful heart and mind is saying. And you know what God's saying? He's saying, I died for you. I love you. I've got a place I'm preparing for you. And I've got a job for you. And I want to give you what you need to do it. But the only way, he's not going to force you. And he's not going to force me. So we need to be like David and say, God, search me. Search me and know my ways. You know, it may shock you, but the devil wants you to ignore sin. Yeah. He wants you to be proud of it and glorify in it. But you know what sin does to prayer? Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me read it again. If I regard iniquity, that's a fancy word for sin. If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But you realize it doesn't say if I have iniquity in my heart. It says if I regard it. You know what that means? Regard means to see it. To know it's there. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, listen, he's stepping on the point of secret sin at this point. He said, if you don't know it, that's okay. I'm not holding you what you don't know. But you ask me to search your heart, I'll show you something. Yeah. I'll reveal something to you.
Yeah.
And if you continue in that, if you've regarded it and said, all right, that's just who I am. I can't help myself. I just do this. This is me. Right? That's deceitful. God says, help, fix it, repent. Yeah. Draw closer to me, ask me for help, right? He says, if you regard it, if you keep it, he says, I will not hear you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh my. That means, Mike, you mean to tell me if we come in at Wednesday night prayer meeting, we're all excited about it, we pray about something, and I'm sitting there praying about it with all my might and power, you mean to tell me if I've got sin that I've regarded in my heart that he's not going to listen to me? Well, either he can't listen to you or he has to take out that verse. Yeah. One of the two. It's still there. It's got real quiet. Really quiet. But here's the question. Will you ask God to search your heart today? Will you ask him?
Yeah.
Do exactly what David did. Will you do that today? Will you say, God, shine a light into that dark place?
Yeah.
Maybe you're thinking, Mike, I'm afraid of what's there.
Yeah.
Oh, I am too. In my own heart. I don't like it when he brings those things to memory.
Right.
I don't like it when he really lights it up. You know what he lights it up with? This right here. See, I try to use the world standards and it gets dark. It gets dark, right? All the places of the world are dark, aren't they?
Yeah.
They make it dark so you can't really see what's going on. Well, he shines the light in it. It says, look at how nasty it is. Look at how ugly it is. But you know what? I'm thinking, Mike, I don't like any of this. Well, if we stopped right there, it would be really bad, wouldn't it? If all he does is shine a light on the sin and make you feel like you're worthless. But he goes further.
Yeah.
He says, that sin that I already knew about, that I've already searched, that's been there, and that I am now letting you know, I've got a solution for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He said, I already died for it.
Right. Yeah.
I've already conquered it. I've already paid the price for it. So you don't need to hold on to it anymore.
Right.
You don't need to grasp it and keep it and hide it again. He says, give it to me. I already died for all of it. Isn't that amazing? What love does he have for us?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. You're saying, well, Mike, it keeps coming back again. You know what he says? My mercy's new every day.
That's right.
You know what else he says? I'll help you with it.
Sure.
I won't force you to help you with it. He said, but I will help you with it. You come to me and I'll help you to overcome temptation. I'll help you to defeat this. I'll help you to get over it and draw closer to me. And that's what I want, church. Because people need to see a change in us. Not just from the moment we were saved before and after. They need to see a change in our lives from last year to this year. Because we tell this world that God's in my heart. We say it over again. God loves me. God's working on me. And that we show up the same person as we were before. We offend the people the same way that we did before. We lie. We do all these things. We get angry. We do things against those around us and they see it. You know what they need to see? They need to see us taking a step closer to Him. And that way God hears the prayers. And that way God gets serious with us. And then in turn He'll bring them in. He'll draw them in. And the same gospel that didn't work last time, He'll open up the ear. He'll touch their heart. And they'll see something they never saw. And it's not because we got a different message. We're going to say the same message. And all of a sudden it's going to touch them. It reminds me of the day I had heard sermon after sermon, VBS after VBS, Sunday school after Sunday school. I could tell you all about Jesus Christ, but one day the Holy Spirit touched me and everything was different. Everything changed. I said, now wait a second. I knew who He was, but now I need to know Him. I knew His name, but I need Him in my life. I knew I was a sinner, and that's what we need people to do today. And that same thing, that same eye opening experience. David is saying, Lord, I want you to do that to me today. Even though I'm already a Christian, even though I already am walking with you, open up my eyes.
Yeah.
Take away the deception. Peel the blinders back. Show me something that I can work on. And Lord, help me to do it.
That's right. Amen.
And then he says, lead me. Lead me. We don't like that word, do we? We like to drag God. But he says, lead me in the way. What's the last word?
Everlasting.
Yeah. That's where I'm going to go.
Right.
You know what happens when I go Mike's way? Mike's way only goes so far. And then Mike's way breaks. Mike's way stop. Mike's way is messed up. And I got to go back and start over.
Yeah.
David's saying, lead me in the way everlasting.
Yes.
Lead me in the way I can go forever. Mm-hmm. Lead me in the way I don't have to backtrack. I don't have to start over and I don't have to feel sorry or regret where I've come from.
Amen.
Church 2018. Another year. I want us to draw closer to God.
Yes. Amen.
And really draw closer to God.
That's right.
I don't know about you. Sometimes we make these. We talked about New Year's resolutions the other day. Or sometimes we just re-up our seriousness about certain things. Well, this week, I've been working on a couple things, and I got back to memorizing verses, so I hope I can memorize this one. And I wondered, I used an app on my phone, and it would give me different verses for the week, and it just landed on this one. And I was like, God, how is this going to work? How is this going to work into the sermon? Surely you need it to work in somehow in this service or something. And then it wasn't until this morning that I realized I've been working on this verse all week long. James 1, 22 through 24. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Yeah.
For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. That's what I've been working on this week. And then I thought, wait a second. That does work.
Yeah.
It works right now.
Yeah.
In this part, he said, listen, you've heard the word, but are you going to be a doer?
That's right.
Right? There's a big difference. We hear a lot of things and we don't do anything. But you know what I liked in that first verse? He said, but be ye hearers of the word and not doers only. deceiving your own selves. There's that deception coming right back again. There's the Bible bringing it all back together.
Yeah.
Saying, listen, you know what your heart's going to do? Your heart's going to say, Mike's message, I heard it. I liked it. I may tell him at the end what a good message. And then I'm not going to do anything. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Take it up with James, not with me. Right? But you know what? This year, I want us to be a doer.
Amen.
Not a hearer only. You know, those words are antiquated, but I preached on that a while back. He's saying that looks into a glass. He's saying you're looking to a mirror. He's saying if you're a hearer and not a doer, it's like you look in the mirror, you see your hair all messed up, and then you walk away on your way as if your hair looks fine. Right? As if nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
We laugh. He said that's what happens.
That's right.
When the Word of God touches you, whether it's in a sermon, whether it's in a devotion, daily reading, whatever. He said, you're walking around with crazy hair because you're deceiving your own self.
Yeah.
I don't like preaching these messages, but you know what I like? I like the outcome.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like the outcome. I like what happens a month later, 2 months later,
amen,
in my life and in your life. That's when I like it.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we got to have a little pain now. It's like when you work out, right? Every book I've read about working out, you have pain now, and then you get gains later, right? Little pain at the beginning of the year, and we can celebrate later in the year. Everybody stand.